the kernel warm. That keeps the kernel warm, so it should be able to develop under the earth. The Radak says, as if you aren't too ungeziefen, Hasom gevilach shuloim, chaylev chitim yasbiach. You say by the Psyche de Zimne, by Liko. How do we get the chaylev chitim? How do we get the good fat chitim? Maslich karchoy kefitim lefnai kerusim yamet. Because of the cold weather, because of the cold snow, that insulates the ground, that the chitta should not die. It's deep, deep down, and it can die of the cold. Nothing will grow. So the snow insulates it, it keeps it warm. Interesting, anyone who says perik shir, chitta mahi oime, shir amalois mimamakim kurosicho Hashem. The chitta is so deep down in the earth, and it prays, it davens, that it shouldn't get lost there. It shouldn't get lost. Mimamakim kurosicho Hashem. The famous story that the first Belzer Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Malka, she used to give out the bilkas for shalashidists, for the yoshim. And she once gave out a bilke, and she saw the chuset making it half a broche and eating. And she gave him a bit of musset, telling him, you know what this? How many tefillas this chitta has made that should finally reach someone who's going to make a broche on it? It was planted in the earth. It davened, it shouldn't get too cold, it shouldn't die. When it eventually grow, maybe the wind will break him, maybe the water will drown him. And he keeps on praying. This is the Shir HaMalos Mimamakim, what the chit is praying, what the chit is davening. And then when it does grow, it davens, it should get to a yid. The yid should make a broch on it. And after all these tefillas, you went and you chapped the brocha. It's not fair. And see, the brocha on bread is amoitzi lechem min uretz. The brocha hakoisis es achito, if you just chew a chito, is boire prihu adomu. If we remember the Rashi in Parshas Noach, Rashi says that the first three tfochim of the earth is called uretz. Deeper down is called adomu. The Uretz is the first three tefachim, and the Adomo is much deeper. That's the Adomo. So when we say Boire Prihu Adomo, we're referring to something that grows and develops deep down in the earth. So we say Pri Adomo. When we say Hamoitzi Lechem in the Uretz, because we're saying hamoitzi, it comes out. Where does it come out from? Where does it sprout from? The top part, from the oretz. So we say hamoitzi, when we're talking about hamoitzi, then we refer to it as oretz. Because that's where it came out of. It came out of the higher surface, from the oretz. But where did it actually grow? Where did it actually develop? Is the prihu adomo. So when we just refer to the fruit, we say pri adomo. But when we want to talk about its coming out, so that's when we say hamoitzi lechem min ho oretz. Hamoitzi is from the oretz. The chitta, like we said, is planted in the beginning of the winter. During the winter months, you don't see almost anything. At the end of the winter, you see it starting to sprout. And eventually, after Pesach, Shavuos time, that's the time when the Zman HaKtzira, that's the time of harvesting the chitta, which itself is a big issue, because we know chitta, when it comes to Pesach, has to be Shomo Mechometz. Part of the Shmira is you cannot get any water on it, any water on the chitta, automatically will render it a shiloh chometz. So the question is, it rains. It rains in England, definitely it rains. So if it rains, we're getting a lot of water onto the chitta. So the answer is, as long as the chitta is tzorich lekarka, as long as the chitta needs the karka to grow, so the water that goes on the chitta will not render it chometz because it needs it to grow. But there is a certain point that the chitta is ein tzorich lekarka. The chitta can be mechuba lekarka, it's still mechuba, it wasn't harvested yet. However, it's ein tzorich lekarka. Even if you cut it now, even if you harvest it now, it would be exactly the same. Because part of the finishing of the chitta is the drying section. The chitta, when it grows, initially when you see it, it's water. You have the outside kernel, and the inside is water. Then this water becomes white water. Then it comes like a dough, and eventually it dries out. So the drying part, that can happen even after harvesting. So there's some who say you have to cut the chitta for Pesach when it's still very soft. When it's still very soft inside, because if you harvest it later on when it's ready hard, it's ein tzorich lekarka. It doesn't need a karka anymore. It's just a drying stage which can happen outside. Lemaise, what they do, I don't know if in England if they harvest chitta for matzahs. I think most of the matzahs come either from the US or they come from Eretz Yisrael. What we do in America is, because there we have rainy seasons, is we ask the farmers, when's the time? When are you going to harvest? So he gives a date, 2 weeks' time on Friday. So we'll go out 3 days early on Tuesday and then do the harvest. Because if he decided that you need it until Friday, so we'll go out a couple of days earlier, then we're pretty sure that it's still tzorich lekarka. Actually, it goes by numbers. When the chitta, when it grows, like we said, it's water, so it's 100% moisture. As it dries, it loses its moisture. And we harvest it by approximately between 14 and 16% moisture. That's when again harvested, because at that point we say that it's still tzorich lekarka, and after that it's ein tzorich lekarka. I will talk about a little more about that in a minute. Let me first explain over here where we see in the picture the parts of the chitta, the parts of the wheat. You have the outside of the wheat, which is the bran. That's 14.5% of the chitta is the bran. Then you have the wheat germ, which you see here on the bottom right-hand side. And the endosperm, which says in the middle, that's the actual flour. That's the white that you see inside the chitta. That's the white of the flour. That's about a little more than 80% of the chitta. This is very important for many reasons. First of all, in Shulchan Aruch we find there's something called pas kibber. Pas kibber means what we would call today whole wheat bread. Whole wheat bread, which in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, that was a second class bread. That's the Urim Elat, the poor people, that's what they ate. Because they had this wheat, and to go take off the bran, we're missing 14% of the chitta, and it adds up to a very lot, in the long run it adds up to a lot. So they made themselves whole wheat bread. They ground the whole chitta with the bran, and that's how they made the bread. So that was a bread for the poor people. Avraham Avinu told Sarah, take soilus. Take fine meal. When you make for the guests, you make bread out of the white, not out of the bran. And Shulchan Aruch says that if you have two breads in front of you, one's a white bread, one's a whole wheat bread, so you have to make the brocha first on the white bread, because it's more choshev. Today, holy bread is more expensive than white bread. So probably that halacha changes. Probably today, there's no reason to make a broch on the white bread before the holy bread, because the holy bread may even be more choshev than a certain thing. Why we went over to that, it's something else. There's a big question. If you make a food out of the bran itself, not out of the flour. So if you make something from the whole wheat, then it's a mezoinus. If you make a bread, it's a moitzi, because you're using the whole wheat. But if you make a food product just using the bread, bran, just using the outside, that's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch at all. In the olden days, the bran was a machel behemah. That's what we gave to the fodder for the horses. For some day, either we went down to the madrig of the horses, or maybe the horses went up a little, I don't know. But we're eating horse food today. We're eating food that was once upon a time horse food. So there's no mention in Shulchan Aruch what brocha to make on bran. Today you have all bran, the cereal, all bran, is made completely out of the bran of the wheat. There's something else, I don't know if you have it here, fiber one. It's similar to all bran, but that's 25% flour. So that's definitely mezoinus because it's 25% regular flour. All bran, the real original all bran is pure bran itself. So what brocha do you make on it? It has no flour. So most of them rule it, it's a shahakel. It's a shahakel. Because it's not made out of flour. Anything that's made out of flour can be mezoinus, can be make a pas, samoitzi. But the bran isn't part of the wheat. And it's in part of the wheat that makes it amazonis. So those blabt are shahakl.
Why not hadoma?
Hadoma, very good question. Why not hadoma? The answer is, hadoma is only when it's a ikke peyre. If this wasn't planted, especially for the bran, the chit was never planted to use the bran, solely the bran. So that's why it goes a rupa dage and it's a shahakl. Something that's not the icke part of a pyre, even if you eat it, like if you have an apple, it's white. If you want to eat the kernel, the pits, it would be adomo. It goes down a dagger. The same thing. If you eat the wheat, it's adomo. If you eat the bran, it's a shahakl. So the broth on that would be a shahakl.
Maybe it's grown now for bran.
No, you wouldn't grow wheat just for bran. Unlikely. It's a byproduct of the wheat.
So who says it's a malchut bechlal then? It's malchut behemah. It's called rubbish.
Okay, but whatever you eat, you have a nor is a brocha. You don't. Also lehenes mo'olam azeh beloy brocha. So you have to make a brocha on it. If it would be horrible to eat, which it actually is, but it's but people are still getting nourishment and they're still eating it. Tastes like soda, but you sprinkle a bit of sugar on it, and it makes it edible. So definitely you have to make a brocha. You have to make a brocha. People eat today wheat germ. Also, they take a big spoon of wheat germ. Wheat germ is also not part of the chitta, as a flour part. Wheat germ. If you see a chitta in real life, a real chitta. So you see the bran outside, because that's the part you see. If you open it, you'll see the white inside the chitta. That's the flour. And then in the bottom corner over here, you'll see a little part which has a discoloring. It's not the same color as the whole bran. And that's the wheat germ. That's actually where the wheat sprouts. That's where the enzyme of the wheat is. That's why it's so healthy. The wheat germ is healthy because that's where the enzyme of the chit is, and that's where it starts sprouting. In Hilchus Pesach, it's a big issue when starts sprouting, so that it's a simon, water got there, and if water got there, then it's chometz. That's how I have to check the chit before Pesach, if there's any sprouting being on the chit. there's a big shaila, kemach minashuk, flour. Is flour chumetz, regular flour? Is regular flour chumetz or not? Of course, for Pesach, no one's going to use regular flour. But still, if someone has at home a few bags of flour at home, some people are makpid, they don't even want to, they don't want to sell chumetz gomer. So is plain flour considered chumetz? The answer is, to make flour, you have to condition, what we call in America is called tempered. You have to temper the wheat. I think here it's called conditioning the wheat. In the Gemara it's called lesisa. Lesisa, if you, those who think, remember Kol Shor, the Gemara ta machloikas, if the chitta that you used for the matzahs, you should do lesis on it. So one of the days in the Gemara is definitely have to do the lesisa, otherwise you're not going to have good matzahs. Because the whole idea, the whole concept of lesisa is that you soak it in water, and that enables you later on to peel the chitta, that the bran comes off totally without leaving any stickler bran on the chitta. That's the whole idea of lesisa. That's the whole idea of lesisa. Actually, Rashid mentions it over there. That's the time of lesisa. That the lesisa makes the bran separable from the chitta. So the question is, what's the shaila? Of course, if you're doing lesisa, then you're putting water on a wheat kernel. If you're putting water on a wheat kernel, you're going to make it chometz. But on the other hand, you see beferish in the Gemara that lesisa wasn't necessarily didn't necessarily make it chometz. Recently, I was in a big factory in an ADM factory in Buffalo, New York, where they process wheat, because I wanted to check firsthand how the lesisa looks nowadays. And the lesisa today is almost the same as it was. It's interesting, if you call on the phone, you ask them, do you add water to the wheat? Say, of course we add water, because that's the way you temper. And how long is the water in the wheat? It's about 16 hours the water soaks water, the wheat soaks in the water. It's 16 hours soaking the water is definitely chometz. Yeah, that's why there's no shaila. So you put down the phone, think it's chometz. But when you go over there and take a look, it's a different story completely. It doesn't soak in the water. What happens is, the chitta arrives in the plant, and it goes on a conveyor belt, and it gets sprayed with a little water. It gets like there's a spraying the whole time. And from there, it goes into a big bin, which is called a tempering bin. And it lies in that bin for 16 hours with the little water that was sprayed in it. So that's why they call it, it lies in the water for 16 hours. But it's not really lying in the water for 16 hours. It just, that little water is on there, it's lying 16 hours in a tempering bin. And the whole idea, why do you need the 16 hours? Because they're only using a little water, they don't need a lot of water, because the water gets to the actual flour inside, it's going to make a dough. They're using a little water, but they want it to penetrate all the way through this bran, which was talked, said it's a little, it's 14.5%, so it has a thickness. So to be able to penetrate through the whole bran, it needs to lie in the tempering bins the 16 hours. But really, there's no water coming to the flour part of the... That's the whole idea of the tempering. That the water should not get to the flour. It should just lie in the moisture until the water penetrates through the bran, so then you can separate the bran. So really, from what I saw over there, and most places are the same, the chitta is not chometz, didn't become chometz, because there's so little water, and now's not the place to go in all the rayas, but there's rayas, Alushan Chazanish and Shulchan Aruch Rav, who say that to become chometz has to actually lie in water. But if it were touched water and then dry, it was just left to dry out, that's not considered, that water doesn't bother me. So really,
You spray matzah with water, that doesn't become
chometz.
I mean, that becomes
the broth. Of course, it becomes First of all, matzah never becomes chometz. But the reason why we don't brew alansi, the reason why we don't brew is because we're afraid there's some flour that wasn't. Flour, even a drop of water on flour is going to make it chometz. But here we're talking about a chitter, which is it's covered with a bran. And the bran cannot become chometz. The Mogen Avraham says we cannot use bran in Pesach, even though bran is not chometz, because it's not part of the chitter, what we said, because it's nish meglich, it's not possible to peel the bran without leaving a drop of the chitter on it, so that drop of chitter can become chometz. That's what the Mogen Avraham says. But the bran itself, however much water comes to it, will not become chometz.
So that drop of chitter, which goes with the rest of chitter, that is chometz, no?
That drop of chitter. Yeah, but the shaliv, if the water reached that drop of chitter. Because it only reached the bran, to the end of the bran. No. When, if I peel a chitter, there's going to come a drop of chitter with the bran. Interesting. So I asked the guy over there, so what you're saying, the whole idea of the tempering is that it shouldn't, you want to peel it. So if you make whole wheat flour, so you don't peel it, so you don't have to temper. So whole wheat flour should never be even a shiloh of chometz.
Whole wheat matzah you can have, no?
Yeah, you can have whole wheat matzah. But I'm just saying, if someone has a pack of whole wheat flour at home, he doesn't have to think it's chometz, because the whole chitter doesn't get water, it doesn't get washed. You don't wash chitter, you clean it with air. They're very careful, they don't want to wash chitter, they have to clean it with the blower. It does. So the only water it gets is a tempering. So whole wheat chitter, if you have a bag of whole wheat, you may be able to make matzahs out of it.
Why can't you make shmir matzahs with it?
You can make shmir matzahs from the bag of buying Tesco whole wheat flour and make shmir matzahs lechoyre. But the guy told me a big secret, that they temper the whole wheat, when they make whole wheat, they also temper. Why? Because they're gaining the 2% water in the weight. And you're talking about a few million pounds, or a few million tons of wheat. That little water adds to the weight, is a lot of money. So they temper even when they do whole wheat tossing. That's a secret in the industry. But it's not necessary to make the chitter. They're doing it just because they want to gain the weight and cheat the customer. No. Flour today, flour and kemach min ashuk is not real chometz. The problem is, which is really a real problem worldwide, and not from today, from the Zman from Chazal, when you have a field growing, a whole field full of wheat, so it doesn't all finish at the same time. Not all the fields going to finish at the same time. No, nothing finishes. Everything. So like we said before, once the chitta is ein tzurich lekaka, when it comes to the stage ein tzurich lekaka, then even rain is going to make it into chometz. Even a little water can make it into chometz, because... Yeah, but if it soaks in the rain, it's a few good rainfalls, so it can soak in the water, and it's going to make the chitter chometz. So in Shulchan Aruch mentions Siman Tufnin Gimel that it would be ideal when you start making matzahs, you should check every chitter to make sure there's none which are called metzimuchas, none have grown. None of sprouted, which we mentioned over here by the germ. The way to check it is, you look at that part, which is called the wheat germ, and you see if you see any sprouting over there. If anything sprouted over there, then it's chometz. It's the same as the water got over there, and it became chometz. In practice, you can't check. You know, you get a trailer load of wheat, and go check every kernel. There are people who make their own shmurah matzahs, and they sit a few hours on the table, and they check the wheat. There are people who do that. But in a commercial basis, it's definitely not. So what do? We go out to the field, and we do a sample check. We check a couple hundred kernels. And we're going to find a few that mitzumuchas. We're going to find a few that it's almost impossible not to find, like we said, because the few doesn't finish at the same time. But if there's less than a certain percent, like 1 in 500 or something like that, then we'll say we can go ahead and grind it, make flour, and any chometz there is bottle. And it's bottle before Pesach. So actually what we're eating matzahs in Pesach has a mashi chometz, but it's bottle before Pesach. And that's a matzias. But that was all, it was always like that. It didn't happen today. It was always like that. There's some areas which are worse. That means it rains more. So you have to be more careful. You can't use those chitim. I don't know if anyone here has heard about the Arizonavites. Arizona is a desert area, so it never rains. It's only irrigation. So there's some who take their wheat from Arizona. Because if you take the wheat from Arizona, you're sure that there's no... It never rained. It never got rain. So you're the balabos in the irrigation, and you stop giving water when it's zech ein zoch lekake. The only problem is, the first year they went there, they weren't sure what to do, so they thought, if it doesn't rain, we can go very late. You know, even if it's almost dried out, the chitta, because when, like we said before, in a rainy area, you cut early, because you're afraid that the water is going to rain on finished chitta. But if it doesn't rain anyway, so we have time to go late on. So they went very late, and Zgon HaShale, if it even doesn't rain, there's tau. Tal eine netze, it must be tal. So the tal can also make chumas, just like the rain can make a chumas, the tal can also make a chumas. On the other hand, the Shah Chibi writes about that, so he says, no, tal is very little water, very little, minute amount, and on an enclosed chitta, it will never penetrate through to the chitta. But if you cut very late, so then the whole shibolim, the whole outside is opened already, and even a little tal. So what happened was even though the Gemara says tal eine netze, there's always tal, but tal eine netze means in the whole world it's not going to stop. But there are certain places. What is tal? Tal is minashmaim regen. God says, but it's a metzias. It has a scientific thing. Tal, that when the humidity changes in the air, at night it's always cool, and by day it's hot. And the change in the humidity from the cool to the hot, that makes the tal, that generates the tal. But if in Arizona it's by day 110 degrees, and by night it's 95 degrees, so there's no change in temperature, so there's no tal either. There's no rain and there's no tal either. There's some tzias. Because tal, you get up in the morning, you see down your car. But if there's no change in humidity, there's no tal either. So the maize, there is a maize in the wheat that comes from Arizona, that there's no rain and no tal. So you're not eating chometz and Pesach, which has been bottled lifnei Pesach. Which the maize is docha maize. It's bakant, the behetiv brings down, if someone anizim imashi chometz, miftach shelo yechte kol hashona. Someone who doesn't eat the mashu chometz, it will be a whole year he's safe. So everyone asks, who eats it, who doesn't eat? And this Rik Saboysim asks the kasha, the famous kasha, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel kore vehete. He learned, so Rabbi Shmuel definitely didn't eat chometz in Pesach. How do you know Rabbi Shmuel didn't eat chometz in Pesach? Because Tosfos asked the kasha, how did something happen? Kore vehite, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mayvel takul letzadikim. So it says, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mayvel takul, no legabe machel. Aber legabe anderweis, it can happen. So legabe machel, Rabbi Shmuel didn't eat something that was wrong. So Rabbi Shmuel didn't eat chometz in Pesach. So how did it happen? Kore vehite. So it's just have to read some, but the Rik Saboysim says that he didn't eat chometz in Pesach richtig is. But maybe he ate chometz al yedei bitl b'shishim, which is mutar pi'alocha. But for that, you don't get the avtochas arizal. If you eat chometz in Pesach, even al yedei bitl, you don't get the avtochas arizal as mufta shlo yakti. So I'm sure how from some zoyche zan, zehiten fin alle asirin.